The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
Conceive, believe, achieve. Shut the f*** up.
And new undisputed UFC middleweight champion of the world, Michael the Count Bisping.
This is Believe You Me on the Gas Digital Network.
All right, guys, welcome to a Saturday edition of Believe You Me. We were supposed to be here on Thursday. We were supposed to have Michelle Waterson, but I had a very, very busy day and I had to reschedule, so apologies for that. I was going to reach out to Michelle this morning and just message her because I thought, you know, it's Saturday. She's probably not doing anything. But then I thought, she is leaving to fight very soon, like in the next couple of days. And I think her last weekend at home with her family, with her daughter, or she might even have two kids, I'm not sure. So I thought, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to ask that. Let her enjoy her last weekend. So apologies to all the believers that were looking forward to that. Hopefully when she wins a fight, we'll get her on. But Saturday morning, how are you doing? Well, Saturday afternoon, Lewis.
I'm doing pretty good, my friend. And I have noticed you are somewhat conscious of that. Whereas I, you know, when I started in the world of mixed martial arts broadcasting, I wasn't doing it with a fighter. I was, you know, I was doing a podcast and I filled in on SiriusXM. I was doing that Tap Out radio show. And we didn't really give a shit. We were never really conscious of fighter schedules the same way that you are. Because sometimes it'll be fight week. You're like, dude, we're not going to reach out. Even if they do it, they're not going to want to do it. So it's not a good interview. I've heard you say that a few times.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And certainly the last weekend, right? Not to mention you got to go out of town for a week. You might have some loose ends to tie up. I don't know if her husband will go with him or not, but you've got to pack. You might be doing interviews to promote the fight. You've got a lot of stuff to do and you just want to enjoy that bit of your last weekend, a nice bit of Zen time, if you will, with your daughter. Just block it all out. Forget about the fight for a day or two. So I didn't want to call and, hey, can you jump on our podcast for an hour? Whatever plans you had today, forget about them and come on our show for 20 minutes. So
them in a weird position because as an entertainer and somebody who cares about your career, you know what I'm saying? You sort of go, all right, well, I will put that time aside away from my daughter for my daughter because I'm trying to promote my career. I'm trying to promote my fight. So it sort of puts him in a weird position. I mean, I do that all the time. I mean, luckily I haven't had to miss any like birthdays or any real holidays for my son yet. I almost missed Halloween one year and I felt horrible, but I moved my flight just so I can go trick or treating with him. And I left that evening. But that happens a lot I'm sure it's happened a million times for you as well, where you've been booked on something.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
a graduation, a dance, a recital or whatever it is. And you have to go do it. And the justification is that you're doing it for your kids.
Oh, for sure. I mean, the amount of birthdays I've missed is, there's been a lot, just put it like that. I was going to miss Callum's birthday, which was last week. He was 19 last Saturday. Happy I was supposed Callum. To be in Nebraska, I think, or Omaha. Omaha, Nebraska. Anthony Smith fighting Glover Teixeira, which I think is happening a week on Wednesday. But I was supposed to be there. I would have missed it. But anyway, alas. But never. But also on that tone, actually, doing, you know, Michelle Watson being a guest or whatever. I was actually a guest this morning on, I don't know if it's a podcast or a show or whatever. But, you know, obviously right now everyone's in lockdown and they're trying to find a way to still be productive. And the Zoom meetings have gone off the fucking deep end. You know, whether it's on TV, celebrities at home, fucking singing. I don't want to see that. I don't want to see these jumped up fucking celebrities singing and performing for me. Get fucked. Okay. If you want to have a nice discussion or whatever, but don't, I don't know what it is. Do you know what I'm saying, Lewis? It is kind of getting on my nerves.
Like the TikTok celebrities. Like I was on Jessica Alba the other day. I watched her dance to TikTok songs for probably 25 minutes. I just got lost. I got
sounds like a really good use of time.
we're so bored, and then you're just on your phone, and then you look down, and you're like, "Have I been watching this for a half an hour?" It is pretty crazy to watch adults do it. Like kids, I can't wrap my head around it as an adult male. I can't wrap my head around why it would be enjoyable to do these little fucking TikTok
dances. Oh, no, no, this is the one, is it? They go, bah, 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 and then they do it with the other arm. And they have that stupid, and then they do it with two arms. Is that, you're not a dancer. That is the shittest choreography I've ever seen in my life. And even, you even do that bad. You even look awkward in that little dance that you do. So just stop it. You are not a dancer.
We sound like old fucking boomers because we're literally saying what our dads would say. Like, I don't get it. I don't get what these kids are doing. But can somebody, you know,
I'm talking about the adults. I'm not talking about the kids doing it. I'm talking about the adults doing it. People my age or people younger. And it's like, just stop.
Yeah.
But you're right. I do sound like a boomer because Callum says that all the time. And I fucking hate it, by the way. Stop calling me a boomer. Anything that says, okay, boomer. And any memes I look at is like, oh God, that's such a boomer meme. I'm like, what are you talking about? It's hilarious. And then he shows me a meme and I don't get it. I don't get it at all. And he's like, what do you mean you don't get it, Dad? And I'm trying to think of an example I should have done beforehand, but I didn't know we were going to talk about this. He's like, that it's very simple.
It's a whole other world. Like 19-year-olds, dude. I don't, have you heard of Discord? I have no fucking clue what Discord is. This, I mean, I'm so out of the loop. Is it a chat? Is it a chat?
I have no idea. You're speaking a foreign language to me right now.
Discord is a whole thing that the kids are doing now.
Nah, forget it. But yeah, talking to podcasts and things like that. This morning I was on, I did a little show with Eddie Hearn and Tony Bellew from the British boxing scene. Of course, Tony Bellew, very, very well known, fantastic boxer prior to retiring. And he's doing great things right now. And Eddie Hearn, I guess you could say, you know, he's one of the biggest promoters in boxing. He's kind of like the Dana White, if you will, right now, of the boxing scene. So they reached out and asked me if I'd go on. And I thought, yeah, sure. I mean, number one, I'd love to. I'm a big fan of Tony. He's a great guy. And Eddie Hearn, I do find him entertaining as well. So I was like, yeah, sure. Okay, of course. And I was a little, I wouldn't say skeptical. That's not the right word. But I was like, because I don't like to entertain, you know, this whole boxing versus UFC. And of course, he's Eddie Hearn and he's Tony. So they're, you know, they've got boxing running through their blood. And
this is Talk the Talk. This is the show.
Or maybe it's Talk the Talk. I have no idea. I don't know. Yeah. It's Talk the Talk. Yeah. And there was talk of me and Tony Bellew fighting each other back in the day. Not too much, but he did mention it. And I kind of responded. So there was a couple of news headlines. That was about it. And the first question straight away out of Eddie Hearn's mouth was about me versus Tony. I'm like, Jesus Christ, you didn't even prime me up a little bit. You just got right into it. And then there was a lot of UFC versus boxing talk. I mean, not in a disrespectful way from them, of course. It was just a nice discussion. And they were talking about three fighters from the boxing world that could come to MMA and do well, and three MMA fighters that could go to boxing and do well. And they suggested a guy called Dillian White and Derek Chisora, two British heavyweights. And I was like, dude, they just get fucking destroyed of DC or Stipe Miocic or any of the other good wrestlers. And they're like, okay, well, what fighters would you bring over to boxing? I said, no disrespect, those two fighters that you said, Derek Chisora and Dillian White, I said, you put them in a boxing ring with Francis Ngannou, they're going to get their fucking heads knocked off, okay? Controversial take for a boxing show, but I'm like, I'm telling you right now, they will fucking lose. Francis Ngannou is a fucking beast. Dillian White, Derek Chisora, very good boxers. Ngannou on a completely different level.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know those fighters per se, but it does seem like the MMA versus boxing talk has... it's shifted. It's not, there's not the same sort of contentious thing where it was like back in the day, even, you know, 5 years ago, definitely a decade ago, it was like, what's better, boxing or MMA? Could an MMA guy win? Could a boxing guy win? MMA has truly carved out its own place. It's gotten a level of respect. Now, even the boxing purists respect MMA. It's a much different thing. And it was a very slow burn, you know, it was almost like, you know, what's the best combat sport. And it's almost like everyone sort of agrees now it's as different as volleyball and baseball.
They're just different. And that's what I said to those guys. I said, you know, these talks, you know, this sport versus that sport, they're all fighters at the end of the day. So you can pit fighters against one another, but the sports are so different. You can't really do that. Talking of Dillian White, by the way, which is one of the guys that they mentioned, I trained with Dillian. He came up to one of our training camps for a long time, helping Rampage out. I think when he fought Rashad Evans, so Dillian White came up. So I know Dillian, great guy, very, very good boxer, big, big guy. And he's actually fighting, I think he's fighting Tyson Fury with Deontay Wilder. He's injured now. So I think Dillian White's going to be up against Fury. Theory, All British Clash there. So best of luck to them. What else is going on in the world? So well, talking about boxing, actually. Okay. Go on, you were going to say?
Well, probably the exact same thing you were going to say.
Probably. Maybe you could have said it a second earlier. Maybe you could have preemptively jumped in. Maybe you could have segued when I finished my sentence.
Oh, really? I'm going to segue and take away the opportunity for the king of segues.
I have a trophy over there.
I don't have any fucking trophies.
In podcasting history. I have a plethora of awards. I don't know where it was. It would take me a long time to locate it. But yes, segue. Oh, yes, blah, 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 boxing. Speaking of boxing and big hitters and heavyweights, what is going on in the news with a certain heavyweight boxer that may be now retired that focuses on growing marijuana?
Well, so Mike Tyson, apparently, a lot of people have been tweeting. He's been trending for the past few days because I guess he teased that he is now training to make his return, quote unquote, to boxing, not professional heavyweight boxing, not prize fighting, but what do they call them? Like exhibition bouts, high paying exhibition bouts for charity. You know, we just saw Mayweather make, I think, something like $9 or $10 million fighting that Japanese dude. I mean, he beat him in the first round. So it's very, very lucrative to do the, and especially somebody like Mike Tyson. Mike Tyson could easily get paid $10 million to show up and box somebody in an exhibition bout.
I'm just saying, if they're throwing around $10 million checks for an exhibition boxing match, give me a fucking shout, doggy. I'm available. I'll risk the eye for a $10 million paycheck. Let's go.
Well, Tyson's getting $10 million. You're getting a little smaller cut.
Whoa, 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 whoa. What are you saying? You're saying I don't have the same allure? I don't have the same star power? Okay, I can't headline as well as Mike Tyson? But I only just retired 2 years ago. Tyson's been retired forever, bro.
Can you show the video of Tyson? Listen to me. If I had to use my logic, I would be like, yeah, Michael Bisping should be able to beat Mike Tyson in any sort of physical competition.
I'm just going to tell you right now, I can categorically beat Mike Tyson in a
fucking fight. Can I show you something? Before you say that, can we just take a look at this video that Mike Tyson dropped of him hitting the pad?
I will destroy Mike Tyson. Let's take a look. Okay. Fuck that. I take it back. I retract my statement. I thought we were going to see some 53-year-old Mike Tyson. He's got a joint in his mouth most of the time, but looking at that, Jesus Christ, he's still got it. He's still got the power. They say the last thing to go is the power, and looking at that, I mean, it was one combination, though. You know, I mean, how's he going to beat in the later rounds? Okay, first round, very dangerous. We always know that about Mike Tyson. But those later rounds, doggy, those later rounds, that's when I'm just starting to break a sweat. That's when I'm coming alive. I'm like, come on, Tyson. That all you got?
We are fucking around right now, but I mean, you should be able to beat Mike Tyson in a fight, right?
I will beat Mike Tyson in any fucking environment. Simple as that. I don't care if it's boxing, chess. Maybe not smoking a joint because he does smoke a lot, and I'm definitely a lightweight. So, but yeah, I'll go toe to toe with Tyson for charity, do a lot of charity work. Okay, I would do that. Let's go boxing versus MMA, one eye versus old man, no headgear. Let's go. I'm down.
I don't know why he's so terrifying. Is he so terrified of me?
I don't know. That's what I'm like. Tyson, no, just fight me. Come on, bro. I don't know why he's so terrified of me either.
No, your hearing's going now as well. I was saying terrifying. Why is Tyson? What is it? Like, I don't know anything about boxing, really. But when he punches, even right there, it looks scarier than when other people punch.
Have you seen me on the bag, Lewis? Jeez Louise.
Pull up Bisping's Instagram now. Can we
don't bother. No, Tyson was one of he was the baddest man on the planet. I mean, he was terrified just the way that he fought.
When you look at that right there, that of him hitting those pads, and I know you've talked about it before, hitting pads, it's very different than hitting an opponent, right? So people can look good on pads, right? My 7-year-old looks pretty good on pads when I go on pads.
Define pretty good.
Pull up my 7-year-old on pads. It'll fucking blow your mind.
Don't pull it up. I don't want to see it. There's going to be 30 seconds that we never get back. Hitting an opponent, sparring, hitting anything like that is very different from hitting pad work. Pads are a great training tool. You get to work on technique. You get to work on timing, distance, all that type of stuff. You get to work on your cardio, of course, and get the technique right. But it's also an excellent demonstration tool because when you get into a good sync with the pad man, you know, you can really look amazing. So that's why, you know, Fight Week at UFCs, you have the open workouts, you know. You want to do it with your regular pad man. I remember sometimes I've been to places and they're like, you know, like if I've been booked for an appearance over the years. And they're like, oh, yeah, Michael, when we get there, we'd really like one of our guys to take you on the pads, you know, do a little demonstration. And I always say, no, I'm not doing that. And they're like, well, why not? I said, because most pad men, right, all pad men, they have a little different style. And if they're not used to you, you look bad. You look terrible. You need 4 or 5 sessions to kind of get into a sync. If the guy's good, you know, he'll pick up your rhythm pretty quickly. But if the guy's kind of subpar, which a lot of people are, to be honest, and then you start hitting pads, you look terrible. The pad man doesn't look bad. It just looks like the guy can't hit to save his fucking life. So I'm always a little reluctant to work with a new pad man, you know?
Yeah, it's like a rhythm, you know, so if one guy has a certain rhythm or does certain combos a certain way, holds his hand a certain way, it's going to take an adjustment period. And now all of a sudden you're on camera and people are videotaping you and you look like an asshole. Well, this guy's out of position. So,
here's one thing that people do with tie pads. Here's the thing that people do out here, which is fucking ridiculous. They have the tie pad in the hand and then they straighten their arm and they put it on the leg like that. And they go, kick it. I'm sorry, if you're a pad man, and I don't know, maybe some Thai boxing aficionados are going to argue with me now and come at me on YouTube. But anytime a pad man holds a pad like that, I can't kick properly because your arm is straightened like that and it's kind of bent. And if I fucking kick properly, I'm going to break your arm because it's going to knock it back and the arm doesn't bend.
Teach him a lesson.
Way.
All you got to do is learn that lesson one time. And then guess what? You've adjusted their technique.
Or I break their arm. They lose their job as a pad man. Right, they lose their house, their children are homeless. Next minute, they're on Skid Row, and his wife's selling her body for crack. What do you want, Lewis? I'm a good man.
You are a good man. Well, when you see Tyson hitting those pads, honest assessment, I mean, he looked, from a layman who doesn't know shit about fighting, he looks incredible. He looks like, and you hear about George Foreman coming back when he was 50 back in the day. I mean, you know, it does happen. I mean, why couldn't Mike Tyson technically come back and do something?
Well, listen, you're absolutely right. He looked terrifying on those pads. And you don't forget how to do that. Tyson's been probably since, I forget what age he was when he started boxing, but it was very young, done that his entire life. It's like riding a bike, falling off a log. You know, that'll always be there. Notice the clip was pretty short. You know what I mean? So they got him there because it is very tiring hitting pads. And that's no disrespect. I mean, that's not a dig, by the way. But he looked great. He looked terrifying. He looked fantastic. But that's very different to coming out and taking a fight. I'm sure Tyson could win some fights, you know. Absolutely he could, you know. But he's been there. He's done it. You know, if he wants to come out and have some charity fights, if he wanted to fight, Jesus Christ, I'd watch it. I've always been the biggest fan of Mike Tyson. I remember the first time I met him, it was a long time ago. I didn't meet him as such. I was just at a bar in a pub and he was there as well. And I was shit-faced. I was like, wow, man. It's fucking Mike Tyson. And I wanted to go over and just talk to him. Do you know what I mean? But I thought, and I was shit-faced as well. And I just thought, it's probably a better that I don't, because I'm hammered. And at 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning in Vegas, shit-faced. Hey, Tyson, what's up? I probably would have got knocked out pretty quick. So I just thought, I'll keep my distance. Maybe approach Mike Tyson.
It wasn't even Mike Tyson. It was Evander Holyfield.
Yeah, it was somebody with a tattoo on his face. You know what I mean? Yeah. He wasn't even a black guy. He was white. You know what I mean? Tyson, what's going on, buddy? I'm sure he can win some fights, but he's been there, done that. He's got the t-shirt. He's got his strain of marijuana. He's got his weed farm. Tyson's doing really well.
Tyson's killing it, man. He never have I seen somebody sort of go from being one thing to just a completely different thing. Podcaster, weed farmer. He had a cartoon. So, you know, good for him, man. Good for Mike Tyson. Apparently he had a really, yeah, you know, we've talked about it before. I mean, it's not that I give Tyson a pass. I mean, because he, you know, he did go to jail and he has had a fucked up past, but he dealt with a lot of abuse and a lot of people taking advantage of him. And I think he came out of it on the other side a much better person. I think, you know, it's commendable to sort of see what he's turned his career into.
Yeah, no, it really is. I mean, there's a guy that just shows, you know, you use your platform, and I dare say a lot of smart people around him helping him as well. But he's done a fantastic job of, as you say, reinventing himself.
Yeah.
But I remember back in the day, Tyson, he was just the man. He captured everybody's imagination. You never missed a Tyson fight. Just incredible. And as you say, I'm really happy to see what he's doing these days. You know, he's doing absolutely fantastic. But talking of retired athletes, okay, and I'm not talking about myself, there's another retired athlete that made the news this week and a couple of weeks ago. He had a documentary out, but Harrington told me something off air right before we started the show. I'm talking about Michael Jordan, the former basketball player, and tell me about this offer, this ludicrous offer that he turned down. I don't know any of the details, Harrington, but the floor is yours, buddy.
So the his manager is who came out and discussed this. Essentially, he wouldn't give the company, but he said that the deal was for his likeness and rights to use his name and appearance, as well as a 2-hour meet and greet he would have to attend for the sum of $100 million. Jordan passed on it.
It's his former agent who represented him for a good portion of the 90s. That he had once put together a deal worth $100 million. So I guess this is, wow. Is this an older deal? This didn't happen recently, or did this happen recently, Harrington? Do you know?
No, he didn't. He didn't give a time frame for when it was happening either. But
okay, so this is former agent. So I'm assuming this is an older thing.
Jeez Louise, Harrington, hold on. Talk about like letting the cat out of the bag, because you see the news? Michael Jordan just turned down $100 million for doing a 2-hour appearance, okay? So I'm like, oh, fuck, don't tell me any details. Tell me on air because I want to react to it. Now on air, okay, is that it turns out this could have been 10 years ago. This could have been in the prime of his career. And it's not only a 2-hour appearance. They want his image and likeness. And who knows? Maybe it's for Pornhub. Do you know what I mean? Maybe something like that. And he's like, fuck that. The plot thickens, Harrington. You just said Michael Jordan turned down $100 million for a 2-hour appearance, right? And I was like, wow, he did that? That's fucking insane. Because even if he doesn't need the money, he could have done the 2-hour appearance, took the $100 million, and done a lot of good with it. Maybe donated it to charity or whatever. But now it turns out it could have been through the highlight of it, the prime of his career when he was very busy. And they want his image and likeness to be like the spokesman or the face of a certain brand that maybe his beliefs don't align with. Harrington, essential information. Dude, come on.
$100 million's $100 million, Mike.
Yeah, for $100 million, I would show up at the KKK rally and blow my father right of your mind.
Would you really?
You want to do for $100 million? Yes. Yes, I would dig up my father's corpse and blow him in front of the KKK for $100 million.
No, you wouldn't.
I swear to God, I would. I swear on my son's life. Yes, I would.
Okay, all right. Dead man, that's your dad. He's got no penis. There's nothing to blow. It's just a corpse. It's a pelvic bone.
Sucking on a pelvic bone in front of the KKK.
Well, no, it's an imaginary penis on a skeleton, okay? So that's not that bad. Everyone's got masks on. You just stick a mask on. It could be anybody under there. And then, as I say, it's a skeleton. So you just like do some weird motion to a skeleton. Human being, Ku Klux Klan leader. He's very ugly. In fact, Harrington as a Ku Klux Klan leader, okay, hasn't showered in weeks. Not too far from reality, okay? He's out there. He's yee-haw in like some like Ku Klux Klan country, some part of the world. And a lot of people are there. And the other Ku Klux Klan people are going to take their pants down and jerk off whilst you blow the leader, the main guy.
Don't waste the opportunity, boys. Get those dicks out.
You suck everybody there.
What? $100 million. Bisping, do you have any idea how much $100 million is?
Yes, I do. It's a lot of money. But listen, you can't buy dignity. You can't buy grace. You can't buy legacy. Your legacy would be the guy that sucked off the entire Ku Klux Klan, right? In one sitting. Didn't even come up for breath. And he swallowed the whole fucking load. That would be your legacy, Lewis.
For $100 million, I would allow that to be my legacy.
Kiss goodbye to stand-up. What is James going to think?
Goodbye, stand-up. Think about the bullying. Goodbye, James. I have $100 million. Fuck James.
Fuck James, you're out of my life. And fuck my kids as well.
This thing, I got $100 million. Let's go to my private island.
Give me $10 million. I'm coming with you.
This thing, you got a videotape in for $10 million.
Oh my God, Jesus Christ. All right, okay. Whew, deep breath.
So $100 million. He does, you know. Even if it was in his prime, that's pretty crazy. That's so much money that it's like, I mean, there's not many things you would turn down for that. And you hear about that. You hear about like Beyonce and like celebrities getting paid like princes from countries will pay them like $10 million to do like a private performance.
Yeah, no. But the thing is, you got to, because as I say, if it's not a new offer and it was when he, maybe it was back in the day in his prime, it might have conflicted with some other deals. Do you know what I mean? He might have said, I can't do that because I'm the face of this. Or he is, obviously, he has his own Nike Air Jordans, which is a mega deal. It's probably made him a billionaire. I don't know if he's a billionaire, but I think he's up there. You know, and maybe conflicting with that. And it's a case of, like, well, you're going to take that $100 million, but it's going to fuck up your shoe deal or whatever. So there's many different factors and many ways of looking at it. Not just a case of, say, him saying, oh, I can't be bothered to take the $100 million.
Well, this is his agent from back then, and he's sort of positioning the conversation like this is how selective he was. So I don't know that it was a conflict of interest. It seems like he was truly that selective. This is the quote. He said, God bless him. He's been so successful. And I'm sure that was a believe you me, God bless him, because this is his agent that would have gotten $10 million for this deal.
Oh, that was a believe you me, God bless him. That was a oh, God bless him. Fuck you, Michael. I'm broke now.
He could have retired off that. He's been so successful, it gives him an opportunity to do whatever the hell he wants to do or not do the things he doesn't want to do. I really admire that. He's very, very selective in the things that he wants to be involved in. And I get it. Look, you know, it's easy for us to say, like, were you fucking crazy? Like, even to donate the money, I'm sure he has so much money that 100 million, 10 million, 200 million. It just doesn't matter. He's never running out of money for the rest of his life. It's over. Like, he's got money. His kids have money. His grandkids have money.
Hold on. Do you own a pair of Nike Air Jordans?
No, but I own a pair of Nikes.
Of course, everybody owns a pair of fucking Nikes. That wasn't the question. Do you own a pair of Nike Air Jordans?
No, I don't. Because
I don't either. No. I don't. They're very expensive. Callum wanted some for Christmas. I saw the price. I was like, oh, here. Mm. Let me go on Amazon real quick and find you a pair for $30. Here's Brian. He just bought his first pair. Well, there you go. $20 to Michael Jordan. There you go.
How much are Air Jordans?
I saw something recently, or not recently, a year or two ago. I remember hearing Ricky Gervais. I think he was on the Howard Stern show. It was a long time ago. $120, Brian says. There you go. Just bought his first pair. First pair. Been around a long time. You're a little late to the party there, Brian. I remember Ricky Gervais, I think, on the Howard Stern show. I think he was offered $10 million. There was some bank in China or somewhere like that. They offered him $10 million. They were going to fly him in on a private jet and him just do like a little set. You know, 30, 45 minutes to a private show for all these big corporate bankers. And he turned it down. He turned it down. But as you say, you come to a point, and he was kind of disgusted with himself because he said it's a disgusting amount of money. But to your point, what you said, once you become, you know, once you get in that kind of bracket and you're earning that kind of money, you know, I guess you do have the luxury of doing that. But he didn't want to do it because he said it was such a disgusting amount of money. He kind of felt like a prostitute or something. It was a sickening amount of money. It felt weird. But if it was so weird, I guess he could have just donated it to charity.
Well, that's sort of my point, right? So I get it. It's hard for people that aren't that rich to sort of wrap their heads around those conversations.
I remember 99.99999% of people in the world. It's like, oh, it's hard for people that aren't that rich. Not like me. Yeah, no, not most people.
I remember I read a thing a while ago, and I guess it was maybe with Paris Hilton or Kim Kardashian or one of those like socialite bitches. And they were talking about why they have to date guys that have a lot of money. And it's like, it's not that I couldn't be attracted to a guy that doesn't have a lot of money. It's like, but a guy that doesn't have a lot of money would never understand why I do some of the things I do and how I spend money. They're never going to wrap their mind around $30,000 to, you know, book a private jet with some fucking, you know, whatever to go to this thing. And it's a difference in sort of the way you look at the world. So it's, Ricky Gervais, I'm like, yeah, he should have done it. Give $8 million to a poor friend. Donate $1.5 million to charity and keep $500,000 if he feels like that's what he's worth, or, you know. Yeah. But whatever, I can't put myself there. I have no idea why you wouldn't do that.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, listen, maybe he was just busy. Who knows? But I'll tell you what, speaking of Ricky Gervais, Afterlife 2. Have you seen it? Have you watched Afterlife, Lewis? It's by Ricky Gervais. Very, very good. Very good. Hilarious, but very sad as well. It will make you cry.
He was the narrator in a new cartoon movie on Netflix right now that I really liked called The Willoughbys.
Okay. Yeah, check out Afterlife. As I say, it's about his wife's died and just he's dealing with the stress and the misery and the depression that follows. But anyway, there you go. What else is going on?
Well, as it relates to that, have you ever had to turn down an appearance, or have you ever been offered something where you're like, yeah, whatever, you were conflicted and you ended up not taking it? That was either a lot of money or a lucrative thing. You're like,
yeah, no, for sure. A couple of times, a few times. I remember last year, 2019, we just started with ESPN with the UFC, and I booked, I was booked to be, you know, an analyst, pre-fight show, post-fight show, all that stuff. And I'm actively working hard on my acting career. And I got an offer to be on NBC's Blind Spot. I was going to be the guest star for an episode. And it came in kind of last minute, and it would have been 3 or 4 weeks in New York filming on Blind Spot. It's on NBC. The money was good. But it was kind of short notice, and I was supposed to be in Las Vegas covering, I forget which fight it was. I was like, fuck. It was January or February. You know, the deal had just kicked in with the ESPN, and you want to make a good impression, right? You know what I mean? You want to seem like a guy that could be dependable. I was trying to build a relationship with the ESPN, and I didn't want to be the guy that on the first time they use you, like a week before, flaking them and say, hey, guess what? Sorry, guys, better offer came in. Fuck you. So I regrettably told my agent I had to say no. So my agent was a bit pissed off. I'm like, dude, I can't do it. I'm a man of my word. If I make an arrangement and I say I'm going to be there, then I got to be there. I'm only as good as my word. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Just because a better offer comes in, that's not how you should behave as a human being. Anyway, Blind Spot probably thought I was playing hardball. So then they came back with like double the money. I'm like, for fuck's sake. It just made it 10 times worse. And, I should have taken it. I should have did it because they could have just got another analyst right off the bat, and they hardly ever used me anyway. So there you go. Lesson learned on that one. Just fucking do you. Do what's right by you.
But I understand that philosophy though, because this happens all the time with comedy. You'll book something months out, 6 months out. You know, on average, you're booking these gigs 6 months out, and then you get offered another gig for twice the money on the same date. It's just black and white. I can't do it. I had already booked it. I already committed to something, and it makes it easy, you know, and I wouldn't rebook on you. If somebody else offered me something, if I booked for you, I wouldn't do the same thing. And it makes it nice and easy.
It's called being professional.
Yeah.
It's called being professional. You make a commitment regardless of what it is, being an analyst, comedian, fighter, whatever, you know, whatever it is in life. If you say you're going to be somewhere, you be there, you show up, you do a good job, you be prepared, you be on time. And you don't flake at the last minute because a better offer came in. You know, that's just pretty good rules to live by across everything for your entire life.
Hey, Mike, let's take a quick second and thank one of our incredible sponsors, which is Naked Nutrition. Right now, if you're under quarantine, if you're at home, if you're not having to go to work, take advantage of that time off. I mean, look, you got to make a positive out of something negative. You should be working out. And if you're working out, you should be putting natural products into your body.
Yeah, listen, you know, we're all on lockdown, but we're going to do what we can to look after our bodies, right? Whether that's stretching, doing yoga, lifting weights, running, just simply walking. We got to try and stay active and have the nutrition side of things taken care of as well. Listen, I've tried many, many different supplement brands over the years. I've tried them all, to be honest. And I got to say, and this is not me just saying this because they sponsor the show. Naked Nutrition, I think, is my favorite I've ever tried, because simply you can just tell that it's good for you, right? When you try some of the protein powders or whatever, it's sweet, it's delicious, and it tastes artificial, you know? But when you look, I'm holding it right here in my hand. Naked Whey, less naked whey. Here are the ingredients. Whey protein concentrate, organic coconut sugar, organic cacao powder, contains milk. Boom, there you go, right? I every day, that's what I'm having for breakfast. Now, I get that. I put in a handful of berries. I put in a handful of spinach, a little bit of peanut butter to taste, and boom, you got a delicious, nutritious shake or a meal replacement. And then also this stuff that I'm holding up right here, Naked Energy. This is my little secret go-to right now. Every day I'm working out, I take a little bit of Naked Energy, right? And again, a lot of the time, if you take pre-workouts, right, you taste it and it's disgusting, let's be honest. But you feel weird. You get all jittery. You get a little tetchy. You know what I mean? You start sweating. I get like chills on my head. You just feel, I don't know, you feel like you're on crack cocaine or something. Not with this stuff. Naked Energy, I take it in about 20 minutes or 10 minutes. You feel fantastic. And me, Callum, and Rebecca, we've been in the garage. We're all smashing the Naked Energy, and we're in there. We're not naked. We are dressed. Certainly would be inappropriate with my son involved. But we're dressed, but we're smashing the workouts. I'm telling you, we're upbeat. We're having a great time. We're laughing. We're joking, and we're having great workouts. And I'm telling you, it's all down to Naked Energy. So please give this a try, right? They've got a fantastic line of supplements. Go on there, take a look at the brand, and I guarantee you will not be disappointed.
So we have a pretty incredible deal for the listeners of this show. If you go to nkdnutrition.com, that's NKD for naked, nakednutrition.com, use the code BISPING, you're going to save 15% off your entire order. Save some money right now, baby boy. You don't want it. Everyone's trying to save a little bit of money, maybe get some time off. This is a good thing. You put some great stuff in your body, save a little bit of cash, use that promo code BISPING to save 15%. Once again, nkdnutrition.com. All right, where were we?
What else was in the notes, Lewis? What else we got, bud?
I wanted to and we have a few MMA topics to talk about as well. So I don't want to spend the whole show talking non-MMA, but I did think this was interesting. So maybe we can relate it to MMA actually. So there was a USA gymnastics coach, and you guys can pull up the story as well. Her name was Maggie Haney, or her name is Maggie Haney. And apparently she was just suspended from coaching for the USA Olympic team for 8 years. And Harrington or Brian, if you could pull up some more specific details, because I think a lot of the details are sort of silent right now. But apparently she was suspended for bullying her athletes and using like really harsh tactics to coach them. One of the her athletes actually, Lori Hernandez, went on to win Olympic gold. So there's there's a debate there. If I'm Maggie Haney, and I think some of the details are mum right now at this point, but I'm going like, yeah, they fucking work. What are you talking about? Yeah, I may be harsh. I may be a bully, but I bring the gold home. And sometimes you have to be harsh if you're expecting, you know, really high level results.
Well, I don't know what the details of the story are. And Harrington, just be ready in just a second to give us a quote on some of the accusations that she's facing right now.
If you want to read some.
No, I know. But get ready to speak on the microphone is what I'm saying, Harrington. Just break it down for the listeners. I don't know what the accusations are or why she has been suspended. But I will say this, you know, to really be the best, to reach the pinnacle of sports in whatever field you are in, and certainly here we're talking about Olympic level gymnastics, right? That is an incredibly hard area of expertise. The competition is absolutely fierce. And for you to be the best, and we're talking about the Olympics. I mean, let's talk about sprinting or running or racing, whatever it is, or swimming, right? Sometimes you're arguing or you're winning by 0.001 seconds, right? So The fucking tiniest little bit of minutia, right? The finest attention to detail in your preparation, in your diet, in how you live your life when you're not training, all comes into effect. So I don't mind. I mean, that's why you become a champion. That's why you become one of the best in the world. That's why you become associated with that title or the Olympic gold medal winner for the rest of your life, because it's so hard to achieve. And, you know, and it's not for everybody. Some people can take it. Some people can't take it. And it's never fucking easy. As I said, I did that podcast this morning, and they said, oh, Mike, we spoke to one of your old boxing coaches, and he said you were the fittest guy that he ever trained. And I have people all the time messaging me saying, Mike, what's your secret? You know, how did you get your cardio so good? There is no secret. It's just hard fucking work and sacrifice, right? You get out what you put in. Now, as I say, I don't know what this lady did. So, Harrington, break it down.
So the biggest charges levied against her is that she would force her athletes into training when she knew that they were injured. So a lot of people were upset about that. In one case, McCusker, 18, considered a strong candidate to make the American team for Tokyo Olympics next year, though she had to withdraw from selection camp for last year's world champions because of mild rhomboidiolosis, a muscular disorder associated with overtraining.
Hmm. Okay. All right. So it sounds like
the panel...
Go ahead. Please carry on.
The panel found that Haney failed to provide a safe, positive, and healthy environment with a culture of trust and empowerment. Two of her championship athletes testified against her, because initially I was going to say, well, you know, maybe is it the athletes that aren't winning that never achieved the highest level? But apparently it's some of the championship level athletes. So there's something to that. You know, it's weird. And the reason I wanted to bring the subject up, or I thought it was interesting for this show, Bisping, is because you've been in a lot of different gyms. You've had a lot of different coaches. And I think that it really does depend on the athlete. I think certain athletes, and we talked about this a while ago, I'm trying to remember who it was, but it was somebody was saying like, oh, they wanted to throw in the towel between rounds. It was a female fighter. And the coach was like, no.
It was Raquel Pennington.
Yeah. And I remember the conversation we had, and you brought up a very interesting point, which is like sometimes those coaches know better than they know in that moment. And, you know, certain coaches know how to draw something out of you and know how to motivate you. And sometimes it's a smack in the face, or it's them telling you you're a piece of shit. Sometimes you need to hear something positive, but everybody's very different. So I wanted to sort of bring this up to you and just sort of get your thoughts on that and see if you had experienced any sort of like crazy sort of coaching where you had thought they had maybe taken it too far, or you know, even if you didn't experience, maybe you witnessed.
Yeah. Well, excuse me. First of all, it doesn't sound that bad. There's no particular scandal here, right? She's just a very old-fashioned, old-school, tough coach that expects the best from her athletes. And training through injuries, I mean, that's a very old-school thing there, you know. But some coaches, there's still a lot of coaches like that, you know, that they're hard-nosed, they're hard-faced. Maybe there's not the most scientific approach, you know. I mean, a lot of boxers still don't go from a scientific approach. They go from the historic approach. Hundreds of years, this is how we did it. We get out of bed every day and we go pound the pavement, you know. And other coaches will say different. I remember Jason Perillo, one of the best quotes he ever said. My strength and conditioning coach, great guy, great trainer, Scott Prochaska. Shout out, Scott. I haven't seen you for a while. But Scott was like, because I was always overtrained in my fights, right? Before I get to that. So like these days, overtraining is really, you know, it's monitored closely, right? But I was always of the guy, more, more, more. But now the modern approach is less is more to get the best out of your body. And it's a very tough balancing act. You're trying to work hard, but you're also trying to not overtrain. And when you've got opposite coaches telling you opposite things, it can be very conflicting. And as I say, Scott said one training camp, said, Mike, for this camp, I don't want you to run. I don't want you to do too much running because you're running too much. You're wearing your muscle down. Because if you're doing a lot of cardio, certainly running, it's hard to build muscle and it's hard to build strength. And he did have a point. But Perillo, being the old-fashioned boxer, mm-hmm. and the cynical son of a bitch that I love that he is, I said, Jason, Scott says that he doesn't want me running a lot this training camp. And Jason goes, yeah, I bet. You know why? Because running's free. Because running's free. You know what I mean? I don't have to go and fucking pay him whatever the fee was for every training session, right?
I love Perillo. Perillo's a fucking man.
Oh, yeah, I bet. Because running's fucking free, Mike. Running's free. You know, I was like, that was a great fucking point. But back to the gymnastics. There's nothing too bad there. Listen, it sounds like she's very old-fashioned. She's a bit of a slave driver. You know, she cracks the whip hard, pushes maybe a little too hard, doesn't listen to the athletes. It sounds like she's like, you know, like you see like an old-fashioned Russian coach that, you know, maybe you've seen a Rocky movie or something that was pushing right. these ladies too hard. And maybe, you know, they've been to a tribunal. They've listened to what the ladies have said. And yeah, she's been suspended. Maybe it was too much. But there isn't too much scandal there. But yeah. I remember, I'll tell you a quick funny story. When I first started in MMA, right, it was 2003. I was going down to Nottingham. I was training with this guy, and wrestling. You know, the coach at the time identified that wrestling was a big thing. I needed to learn how to wrestle, and I never wrestled in my fucking life. And he brings in this Russian coach, this Russian wrestling coach that now is like the head wrestling guy for the Olympic team in England, right, or Britain. And we meet in this gym. And he's a fucking short, stocky little guy with his tracksuit on with a very, very, very Russian, heavy Russian accent. And he's like, okay, all right, stand in a wrestling stance. Right? And I've never stood in a fucking wrestling stance before in my life. So I stand there, I get him a fighting stance.
You're on the top rope.
Yeah. He's like, what is this? What is this? And he fucking clips me around the fucking head. No, wrestling stance. Suddenly, wrestling stance. There's no.
Tell me you head kicked this guy right
like,
there.
The fuck is that in your wrestling stance now? And he's like, this is a wrestling stance. Okay. And he's showing me, and I'm like, the fuck is this guy? And I've only just started training. I've only just given up work and I'm trying to get into MMA and I'm fucking standing here being abused by some little fucking old Russian cunt, right? That's slapping me in the fucking head and telling me how to stand, right? And this went on for a while and I was like, oh, fuck this guy. And afterwards, I said to the guy I was like kind of, you know, working with at the time, I'm like, fuck that guy. Never put me in a room with him again, because I swear to God, I wanted to punch him so many fucking times. He fucking kept clipping me around the head. No, this is not a wrestling stance. It's not like this. Okay. Now, you should, right? He's like, wanted me to do double legs and stuff. And I'm like, I've never done a double leg. And he had no business getting down one of the best wrestling coaches in the world for a guy that doesn't even know how to stand in the wrestling stance.
It's so funny because you can't hit him. So you just have to take being, it's like when your mom smacks you. It's like, I can fuck my mom up, but I can't. So I just have to be smacked. And at one point, you just have to start crying. I can't imagine you're just breaking down. Like, I don't know how to deal with this.
Yeah. And bear in mind, I just like started on this path to mixed martial arts and trying to turn myself around. So I was a lot younger and I was a lot more hot-headed and I didn't know where this career was going to take me. And I might have just said at that moment in time, you know what? Fuck this whole thing and fuck that wrestling coach and outside dickhead on the car park. Fortunately, I didn't, but there was a lot of those examples over the course of my training career that I could have walked away because there were a lot of stuff that I had to put up with. But yeah, let's, that was a good time.
Mike, let's take a quick second and talk about one of our brand new sponsors, which is the EcoDen pillow. I'm using it. I know you're using it. Rebecca Bisping was just raving about it, not even realizing that it was a sponsor on the podcast.
No, that's right, because this pillow arrived, right? And I've been sleeping amazingly ever since. Listen, I have a bad neck. They want to do neck surgery. I wake up a lot of the times. My neck is in agony. I have the freeze here all the time. Even when I'm doing the podcast, I rub it on because my neck is so bad. But ever since this pillow showed up that I thought I ordered, she was like, oh, you ordered a pillow? And I'm like, yeah, I must have done. But no, it was a sponsor on the show. But I'm telling you, this thing is amazing. There's a nice little grooved out section, only ever so slightly for your neck to go on. It's obviously made of memory foam. And it's just the perfect pillow. And I'm telling you, I have been sleeping way better ever since I got it. I mean, listen, we've all had those nights sleep, right? You can't get comfortable. You're tossing and turning all night. You're waking up. You're going to the toilet several times a night. And when I have a night's sleep like that, it's just the fucking worst. The next day, I'm grumpy. I'm grouchy. I'm not productive. I'm an asshole to be around. I'm tired. You know what I mean? I'm clashing with you, Lewis. But ever since this pillow showed up, I'm a new person.
It's a better podcast. Since this pillow showed up, I've noticed Michael Bisping is in a better mood. He's more with it. He's more in the moment. He's more willing to talk about things that he wouldn't normally talk about. He goes out of his comfort zone now. This is all thank you to the EcoDen pillow.
The lights that I use to light up my face, they work better. The water tastes nicer. I don't know what it is. Like, my iPhone is operating at a speed that I've never seen before. And it's just, I don't know. It's kind of like when USADA came in, I became champion of the world. And like, when the EcoDen pillow showed up, my life just got better. Coincidence? I don't know.
I don't know. Well, here's the deal, okay? It was designed by sleep experts. It is designed with your comfort in mind. Memory foam is great. Everyone at this point has felt a memory foam mattress. Your pillow should fit to the contours of your neck. It should fit to the contours of your body. This is the way the EcoDen pillow was designed. And I'm telling you right now, you're not going to sleep on a more comfortable pillow. They feel that way as well. And they're giving you a 30-day risk-free trial of the EcoDen pillow. So if you don't like it, you get a refund. Plus, if you do like it, you get a 3-year warranty. So maybe your EcoDen pillow doesn't feel as good 2 years down the line. But guess what? You could trade it in and get another one.
2.5 years down the line, trade it and get another one. 2 years, 11 months, and 25 days of having that pillow. You've got it, right? You've slept on it 2 years, 25 months. I mean, that's almost 1,000 days.
Who knows what that pillow has seen?
Yeah, that pillow has seen a lot. But guess what? EcoDen are giving you a deal that after all that time, after all that debauchery, I mean, God knows what Lewis's pillow saw last night. I heard some stories off air that shall remain off air, but God knows what that EcoDen pillow saw. But that could be replaced in almost 3 years. And I'm joking, of course. Don't take advantage of the good people at EcoDen, but that's how confident in their product.
Do take advantage of them by using the very unique promo code that we have for the listeners of this show.
Bow, ba, da, bow, bow. The code is BELIEVE, and you're going to get 10% off the best pillow that you've ever tried. I swear to God, give it a try. You will not be disappointed. The promo is BELIEVE, and you're going to go to EcoDenDreams.com. ECODEN. EcoDen Dreams, DREAMS.com, EcoDenDreams.com, and the promo code is BELIEVE. Get yourself a good night's sleep. Get yourself a better neck. Be happy. Be productive. There you go. All right, let's get back into it.
The reality is, like, people, you know, you don't have to be, you know, a high-level Olympic athlete or a mixed martial artist to sort of understand it. If you've ever worked out before with a personal trainer, like, I don't really want a drill sergeant calling me a pussy and screaming at me and pushing me further and further. Like, that's not going to get me to comply. Some people are like that. Some people want that boot camp style and they need somebody yelling at them. And like, I'm like, get the fuck out of my face. Like, I need somebody, like, I like to train with somebody and to lift weights with somebody, sort of get motivated. But everybody sort of has their own style of learning. I remember recently you said that your daughter was really having a great time, like really excelling at learning at home and doing the homeschooling.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, people learn in a million different ways and everybody's personality types is very different. So that coach, the USA Gymnastics coach, maybe her style was right for a lot of her athletes. And it obviously
was. For sure. right for the athletes that want to be Olympic gold medal champions. You know what I mean? Or maybe it wasn't, because it sounds like they were all doing that. You know, you got to listen to your athletes. And if they're injured, you're only going to make the problem worse. So I think that's what they're talking about there. But to your point, and staying on my daughter, Ellie, for just 1 second, she used to do gymnastics. So I think they call it tumbling. It's kind of like a precursor to gymnastics. We don't really get it in the States. We call it gymnastics, fucking tumbling, whatever. But she was doing tumbling, and they were a little too hardcore. You know what I mean? They would shout, they would snap. She would go down there because she wanted to be active, and we wanted her doing something like that. But then after a while, she did not want to go. And I'm like, well, what's the problem? She said, well, they're just horrible. They scream at me. They shout at me. You know, if she doesn't get something right, they shout at them, because there was a very, very good school, and they wanted to compete on the national scene and do well. So that's the problem, because a lot of coaches, you know what I mean? Obviously, they see it as a reflection of themselves. Right. And it's easy for them to put on these kind of restrictions or this outrageously strict lifestyle. Right. It's easy for them to say, because they're not the ones that are having to live it. So they implement these kind of guidelines and these lifestyles and this training regime that is almost impossible to fulfill and keep the coaches happy, because they're not having to do it. You know, I can come up with the most outrageous training schedule that you might be able to do for a week, but you can't do it 52 weeks out of the year, because you're just going to be too burnt out.
Yeah. I mean, look, it's not so much even a reflection of themselves. I mean, you know, coaching, that's their job, their career, the success of their athletes is, it's truly their success. It's measured by the success of their athletes. So,
correct.
You know, it's not even like a mom or a dad sort of seeing themselves and living vicariously through their kids. Like, no, you know, that is, you know, their athletes winning. When you talk about like an MMA coach or an MMA gym, the records of their athletes, it's, you know, the records of the gym, you know? So I think that they, you know, they take it as seriously as possible.
When we spoke about Uriah Hall taking on Jacare, and I brought up Saif Saud down at Fortis MMA in Texas. And, you know, there's a guy, I brought that up straight away because he's doing a fantastic job at coaching. So you're right. I mean, that was a little unfair for me to say, living vicariously, because that is your job. Your job as a coach is to get that fighter, athlete, sportsman, whatever it is, ready for that occasion. But, I don't know. It sounds like that coach did pretty well, though. They won some goddamn Olympic gold medals.
I know.
You know what I mean?
I'd be surprised how many of their athletes you went to and they said, oh, I love Coach Haynes. She was the best.
I guarantee nobody says that. I guarantee nobody says, I love Coach Haynes. I guarantee they say she was I don't know this. I'm going off what I say, but she sounds like she'd be fucking an incredibly prickly person, right? And she'd be hard to be around, and probably not the best at relationships, but fuck me, she gets results. She wins Olympic fucking gold medals. They are not easy to come by, my friend.
I remember I just hate acting in general. And I took an auditioning class, and my coach was such a, or the I guess teacher, whatever it is, the coach, she was a bitch. She was a real bitch. But that class, I learned more about auditioning and how to audition and how to go through that process than any other class. And I don't really give a shit that she was a bitch. Like if I had to go back and do any of them over again, that would be the one, because those were the results I was looking for. And I was very serious about getting the results. It wasn't about showing up and having a fun experience and rubbing elbows with people. It was truly about becoming, you know, the best actor possible.
Did you ever do any group acting classes?
Oh yeah, I hate it.
Yeah. Oh my God. I remember when I first started doing acting classes out here. I mean, I've worked with acting coaches, and now I work with a one-on-one coach. But when I started acting class, it was a very, very good school, right? But when we got in there, we had to sit in this theater, and the guy would give us a speech, and then everyone got up on stage. I think I've said this before, but if somebody could have seen this, like, UFC fucking champion of the world, and he's up here and he's on stage, and we had to form a circle, right? I'd say there's probably 20 of us, right? And a lot of these people are young, right? You know, back then I'm 36 years old, I'm champion of the world, I've been in some movies and stuff already, but I'm playing the game for my agent. He wants me to go to acting classes and try and get as good as I can.
You have to drop that ego, technically. In order to get good, you have to drop it.
You gotta drop it, and I dropped it through the fucking floor when I was doing this. I'm so glad there wasn't a camera rolling, because we all had to form a big circle. Bear in mind, I'm already intimidated because it's like I'm out of my comfort zone. I'm with a bunch of thespians and la-di-das. You know what I mean? I'm at acting school. A lot lot of, you know, they're a different breed of people, you know, some of them are, you know, all kinds, you know, walks of life. But anyway, so we get up on the stage and I'm already uncomfortable, as I say, you know, a lot of them are darlings and they've been to theater school and all the rest of it. And I'm there fucking covered in fucking stitches. I'm like, oh, what's up? How are you doing?
Time to end this suffering.
And we get up on the stage and we all have to link. No. We all have to stand next to each other in a circle and then shuffle our feet ever so slightly as we move in a circle. And as we're shuffling around, one person has to point at another person and say zip. And then that person has to point at someone else and say zap. And then the other person points at someone else and says zop, zip, zap, zop. And whoever gets zopped then has to run around the circle of people whilst they're all fucking shimmying around in a circle back to their spot. And then they start again. Zip, zap, zop. And this went on for about 15, 20 minutes. And I'm fucking shuffling around in a circle. And I'm zip, zap. And I'm like, what the fuck am I doing right now? I'm the champion of the fucking world. Okay, I've done well in my chosen field. I'm acting in some movies. I just want to know how to cry or show a bit of emotion. Why the fuck am I circling going zip, zap, zop? You know what I mean?
Fuck, that's so funny. Watching you play theater games with a bunch of fucking pussy 21-year-old.
Oh my God. Well, I had to do another one. And then another one that they paired us up with people. And then we had to sit down cross-legged. Oh, and get shit. Right up to each other, like to our noses almost touching. And the exercise, it was a great exercise. The exercise was to listen. Right? Because a lot of the time when you're acting, as you get good, you don't do this. But when you're starting, you know, sometimes you're over-obsessing waiting for your line. So you're just waiting for that cue because you're thinking about your line in your head and you're like, you know, I know that when he says, so I had to go, that's when I jump in. So you're waiting for that bit. But what you got to truly do is listen. You got to really listen to what they're saying so then you convey the proper emotions when you deliver your line because you heard it and you felt it in your heart and in your mind. You know what I mean? Those words make sense and they mean something to you and then you say something back. But the point was a lot of people generally in life don't necessarily listen. They don't listen properly. So this was an exercise in listening, right? And they sat us down and we had to sit there cross-legged on the floor and they matched up with this guy and I'm thinking, yeah, I don't care. Fair pleasure, you know, fair play. You sleep with who you want, but I'm like, okay, he's gay. That's straight away. I got that one, right? And we sit down and we get up almost touching noses straight away. You just have to sit there and listen. You have to sit there and listen, right? And he went first. And he starts off telling me about his boyfriend. Him and his boyfriend split up and he's moved from Texas and here he is in LA and he's trying to make it. I'm like, yeah.
He loves spiders.
Yep. And anyway, so I'm sitting there and he was going like quite in depth because you're not just, the idea is you don't say anything, you just listen. And like this guy was going and going and going. And then it's your turn for 5 minutes. I'll tell you what, 5 minutes is a long time to speak without somebody interrupting. And I don't know what I was telling this guy. I was telling him all my deepest, darkest secrets. I just found myself like a free therapy
session. I'm also gay. Oh, yeah, what's happening?
And I'm very horny at this time of the month.
Do you want to leave, sir? Get a cup of coffee.
I have a friend that sucked off the entire Ku Klux Klan. You may be interested in meeting him.
That is called a callback in the comedy world, Michael Bisping. You're a fucking professional, baby boy.
Oh, baby, baby. Oh, dear. What are we talking about then? What's
going
on? That's
so fucking funny, dude. I want to watch you do an acting class and how uncomfortable, because it's uncomfortable. It's uncomfortable for me, and I'm in the world of comedy, which is sort of fucking, you know.
Well, I signed up for another, it's the Anthony Mandel School of Acting. You should follow him on YouTube. He does a lot of videos. He's fantastic, incredible acting coach. And I signed up for another batch, if you will, another course recently. Well, it was when I had my knee replacement. I signed up for it and I thought, I've got some free time now. I'm not fighting. I can do this. And I do want to get better as an actor. So I signed up for another course, but then I had my knee replacement, so I couldn't do it. So I am going to do that again soon, so you never know. I might get a little bit of Instagram cringiness.
We should do an entire episode, I swear to God, where we get an acting coach in, and we get like another fighter in or somebody, and we'll do an entire episode of the podcast where we just do acting coaching and just play stupid theater games and get really uncomfortable and silly.
It sounds like a lot of work. You know what I mean? We can barely both sit down in our houses at the correct time with the microphone. Do you know what I mean? I'm all for it, Lewis. I'm all for stuff like that. It's hard enough, you and me sitting down at the same time on opposite sides of the country with an internet connection and a microphone. Now you want to bring in acting coaches, you want to bring in third party sound, lighting, all the rest of it.
No, there's people that are listening to the show right now that are acting coaches that are going like, I would love to do that with you guys. They would. There's 100 people that would line up for the opportunity.
Well, here's what we'll do is next time you're in town, we'll do some special episodes. Okay, we'll do something like that. Yeah. We'll do one where maybe we go camping, right?
We'll do some
special stuff.
All right, guys, if you guys love the show, go subscribe right now on iTunes. Leave us a 5-star ranking, positive review. We're also on Google Play, Stitcher, really any podcast app that you could find podcasts on. You're going to be able to find the Believe in Me podcast. You can also subscribe on our YouTube channel. Just search Believe in Me podcast or Michael Bisping podcast on YouTube. Our YouTube numbers are growing, and we appreciate all the incredible positive feedback. You guys are truly the best fan base in the world. Also, you should know that Gas Digital Premium, you can get every episode of the Believe in Me podcast on demand at gasdigitalnetwork.com. The latest 30 episodes are on YouTube and iTunes and everywhere else, but the entire on-demand library, plus the other shows that I do, like Real Ass Podcast and Legion of Skanks, they're all available on demand. Over 9,000 hours of the best uncensored podcasts in the world, gasdigitalnetwork.com. Use the promo code BYM30. We're giving away a 30-day free trial right now for the premium service. So 30-day free trial, promo code BYM30. Take advantage of that right now. You get pre-release on these episodes. You get ad-free episodes, uncensored episodes. Lots of fun benefits of being a Gas Digital member. And Michael Bisping, thanks for coming back. We're trying. Dude, the show is just fucking speeding along, my friend.
I know. I'm having a great time. I feel this like we're having a good discussion. We're having fun. We're being a little bit silly if it's your first time, but that's what we do. All right. World of mixed martial arts. I'll tell you what, real fast. UFC 249 is happening next week. And I'm telling you, I was saying to Rebecca last night, I am so excited. And I'm excited because I'll be commentating some of the events coming up as well. And I'm just, you know, when you do a job, you know, that involves a lot of traveling or any work, you get burned out with it, don't you? But it's been a while now since there's A, been any fights. I am fucking so excited to see some, you know, it's my favorite sport. Of course, I'm excited to see it. I cannot wait. And then I'm excited to get back to work as well, you know? So obviously we're going to do it in a safe way. The commentators are going to be at separate desks. We're going to be wearing masks, all that type of stuff. But I'm itching to get back to it. I really am. And just so excited to see some live sports, specifically UFC. I have missed it. Next week, get to sit down on the couch with Callum and the family. You know, we'll order a pizza, watch the fucking pay-per-view. It's going to be great. I can't wait.
Yeah, it is really, it's nice. There's a certain, it does feel like with the UFC coming back and a lot of states have sort of started opening up minimally with certain restrictions. There seems to be a tone in the air, at the very least, a shift mentally that we are moving toward, you know, normalcy. And I know we're far away from that.
That's
as well.
Not what I'm talking about. I don't want to talk about that. I'm just saying I'm excited to watch some fights. I'm excited to see.
I'm excited to feel normal for once. So
well, there's nowhere. You know. We're nowhere fucking near normal, buddy. We're nowhere near, but we got fights. Okay. One step at a time. Slow your roll. Let's not get political. Okay.
I'm not getting political, Michael Bisping. This is happening in the world.
I mentioned MMA. You're now talking about normality, society getting back to normal. I'm talking about UFC being back on the TV. I'm fucking excited. I cannot wait. It's a stacked fight card from top to bottom. Next week, we're going to break down. We've got two shows next week. We'll break down the main card. We did some of the undercard on the last show. But yeah, stay tuned for that. I can't wait. Maybe on Saturday when the fights are on, we'll do something. We'll do an Instagram live or maybe even could we do some kind of like, you know, Fight Companion style-esque show. Maybe we'll do something. Who knows? But what are we talking about here, Lewis? What have we got?
So, yeah, I mean, a couple of things. We got a little bit of time left here on the show. Why don't we do the return of Hammer Fisting with Mike Harrington and we can quick hit it up for some of these other topics because these aren't major MMA topics. These are sort of little tidbits of MMA news that are happening sort of around 249 and mixed martial arts returning.
Hammer Fisting with Harrington in a quick hittery style.
Yeah.
Ooh, Harrington, this is your big moment. And here's what we're going to do, because we're rebranding, believe you me, soon. We're going to relaunch, guys. We're going to blow your minds. And Hammer Fisting with Harrington. Okay, we're going to blow their minds, Lewis. That's it. We're not blowing skeletons. There's another callback. Whoa!
I'm not blowing the leader of the KKK. We're blowing your minds.
Blowing your minds. We're relaunching, but one of those segments could be Hammer Fisted with Harrington, and a big like graphic fist or hammer comes down like a courtroom setting. So the hammer's just dropped. Harrington, Hammer Fisting with Harrington. What have you got this week, my friend?
I like that. Harrington, drop that hammer.
Drop the hammer. Hammer Fisting.
Speaking of dropping things, Junior Dos Santos dropping quite a few pounds recently in an Instagram picture. What do you guys think about the former heavyweight champion's new look?
I don't know about that, but I'll tell you what I think about your fucking segue. Almost on par with Michael Bisping right there, Harrington.
I got to say, that was good, but I haven't seen the picture. Oh, look at this. Look at this. Looking very, very slim. Slim. That was a mixture of slim and lean.
Slim.
It's a new one. I feel like he's still a long way off 205, though. What does he weigh? What does he typically weigh? I think he's not the biggest heavyweight, but I think he's a good solid 245, 250 pounds. So let's say
240 or so. I remember him coming in around that. He's also one, I would say he's like one of the middle. It's not massive, not small, but you know, I guess he said that he would drop to 205 for the opportunity to fight John Jones. Overall, do you think that's a good idea? Do you think Junior Dos Santos dropping weight, whether it's at heavyweight or light heavyweight, is a good idea for him?
I mean, it's a tricky one because a lot of heavyweights could make 205. I mean, Fedor Emelianenko, classic example, right? And now you've got Rampage Jackson.
Cormier.
He did his entire career. Cormier is another one. Rampage, now he's up there. He's, you know, I mean, he's a little out of shape, but he's a big, big, heavy dude. A lot of fighters, a lot of heavyweights are all around the 240 mark, right? 240. Of course, you've got your Derek Lewis's and your Ngannou's that have to cut weight to make 265. But a lot of them are around 240, 250. And, you know, they definitely carry a little bit of weight. They carry a little bit of fat. Nothing unhealthy, but, you know, but compared to some of the lighter weight classes where they've got fucking a 10-pack and there's not an ounce of fat on them, heavyweights could do that. They could trim down a little bit. Maybe they could trim down to 230 and then do an old-fashioned weight cut and make the 205-pound limit. So a lot of heavyweights could drop down. But when you drop down, it doesn't necessarily get easier. I found that when I went from 205 to 185 before, I'm going to drop down to 185. I'm going to be back to knocking everybody out. I'm going to be throwing them around. It's going to be easier. No, wasn't the case at all. Still, they're just as big as you. I remember when I fought Jason Day, right? And he just beat Alan Belcher. I think he just triangled Alan Belcher or something like that. And I was fighting Jason Day. I thought, oh, great. Yeah, fuck this guy. And I met him in the UFC office when you had to do, you have to sign the posters. You have to sign 150 posters. It takes a long time. And there's Jason Day. And I sized him up and I stood next to him and said, hey, how you doing? And he was like a good 2-3 inches taller than me. I'm like, what the fuck's going on here? I thought I was going down to 185, smaller competition, weak as piss, but no, they're just as big as you, but they haven't had to cut that weight. So
yeah, they all had the same idea as you. Everyone that were big, they were like, you know what, dude, I got to go down to 185. I'll be big. Now it's just a bunch of big motherfuckers.
A bunch of big motherfuckers that are killing themselves fight week. That's all it is.
And also really more committed to their diet, training. It's like, yeah.
Way more serious about it all. I mean, when I was 205, I was having triple cheeseburgers. I swear to God, I've told the story. Night before a fight, triple Whopper with cheese and bacon, Sprite fries. Happy days. I was a very, very happy Michael Bisping. Fast forward, go down to 185. All of a sudden, I'm doing morning runs. I'm having tofu and fucking blueberries. You know what I mean?
You're in a bad mood all the time. You're mean. You're angry.
Attacking everybody. Giving everybody shit. I'm like, guys, I'm miserable, okay? I'm literally starving to death to fucking make weight for this fight. So it doesn't necessarily get easier. I would like to see Dos Santos at light heavyweight, though. I mean, that would be great. Yeah. I don't know if he could necessarily. I mean, of course he could make it. But could he make it and perform at his optimum level? I don't know about that. I mean, every time I'm with Junior Dos Santos, who, by the way, just a class act, one of the nicest guys you'll ever come across. He just has a real warmth about him. You know, when you're in his presence, he's just a nice guy. He's always got a big smile on his face. I've always been a huge fan of the guy.
Seems like a goofball, like just a silly guy.
Not really. He's not really a goofball, but he's just a nice guy. Doesn't take himself too seriously, but he's just a fucking good dude. Always got a big smile on his face. But he's a tremendous fighter at 205. I would like to see what he could do. If he could make the weight, I mean, he's got heavy, heavy hands. As you lose that weight, then some of the power will be diminished. You know what I mean? Some of that firepower comes from the fact that his arm weighs a certain amount. I don't know what his arm weighs. Let's say out of those 250 pounds, his arm weighs 60. Okay, well, if you're dropping down, he's now going to weigh 50. So it's not going to be quite as impactful.
Not to, you know, I don't want to...
Are we stripping
it down? 60-pound, you know, two of his arms are half his body weight. That's massive arms.
Okay, all right. Well, not 60 pounds. Let's say the arms are 40 pounds each. That's two arms. That's 40, 80. His legs are 60, 120. That's 200.
I mean, the legs got to be twice as much as the arms, at least.
You know, yeah, that's got to be 30 pounds. Then he's got his head. And not to mention, you know, the imaginary thing that you were blowing earlier. I mean, you know, heavyweights are coming in strong. So I don't know. All right, his arms don't weigh 60 pounds.
All right, hold on. Just a little trivia question. How much does the average human arm weigh? I have it right here.
I'm going to say now, because I've thought about it, I'm going to say, well, hold on, the average. I mean, Jesus Christ, we're not rocking the guns that I've got these days. I'm in there using those power block dumbbells. But 25 pounds.
No, you're so far off. To say initially 60 pounds is crazy. The arms that this man,
the way that he sees, I'm like, he's a big guy. He's so warm and friendly, and his smile and his eyes just mesmerize me. His arms have got to be massive. 60 pounds at least.
The average human arm weighs 7 to 8 pounds. You were so far off.
Bro, beg real fast, babe.
Wait, where your
get
arm?
Get me a scale. Beck, get me an electric. Run up, Lucas. Lucas, run up and get my electronic scale. I'm going to weigh. Quick, Lucas. I'm going to weigh my arm right now.
You're not the average man, though.
Far from the average man.
Yeah, and he's a heavyweight UFC fighter. So even if it's twice as much, fine. I'll give him that. Well, he's got a 14-pound arm.
I'm going to put this digital scale on this desk right now.
You have also particularly small arms for a UFC fighter. So I'm going to say that your arms weigh 9.5 pounds.
Hold on a minute. The production values are going to go back a bit. Babe, come here with the scale. I'm going to move that back there so we can put the scale on.
Beck, he's weighing his arm. Just understand what you're dealing with right now.
Hold on, Rebecca, come here. Put it on the desk. I'm dealing my arm. Oh, well done. Lucas is out of breath. Good job, Lucas. Okay. Hold on. Reset it. Hold on. Okay. Right. And now here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to sit on the floor.
It's going to be dead weight.
Hold on. No, because, yeah, hold on. Is it on zero?
Yeah.
Is it on zero?
I don't know. I feel like your body's pulling down. You got to put the scale on the floor, Bisping.
What does my arm weigh?
No, you're pulling down. You're weighing it down. No way.
No, what does it weigh?
Full arms on.
Oh, yeah, my full arm wasn't even on.
Wow, that's a base arm.
19.2 pounds.
Your arm does not weigh 90. You're leaning
what
on
you
it. You're doing.
About?
Hold on. I can't hear. Oh, all right, thanks, guys. I'll tell you after. 1.21 gigawatts.
Your arm does not weigh twice as much as the average human arm.
Bro. My arms are just gigantic right now. I mean, I didn't know I made those kind of gains. I've been in there religiously, lifting weights,
power blocks,
grunting
dude.
Passionately, just like trying to get it done, trying to make those gains. You know what I mean? Sticking to my diet religiously, you know, monitoring my macros, my carbs, my intake. And Jesus, man, I mean, ooh, doggy. 19-pound arm. No, obviously, I was sat on the floor. In fact, let me try this one more time here, sat in my chair. That's probably a better way of doing it. Just trying to get the zeros hard. Hold on.
Trying to get the zeros
hard. There we go. You know what I'm saying? Trying to get it to... Right, okay. 9.4 pounds.
Yeah, 9.2 pounds seems a little bit more like it.
Yeah, but still, it's... I mean, what was the average weight of the arm?
7 to 8. So you're larger than average. You're right.
You know, there it is. 9.8 pounds of prime British beef, Lewis. But enough about me. All right, what's going on in the world? I guess it is weekend. We got lives to live. You've got James. I have children. I haven't eaten yet. I'm fasting. I'm trying to slim down. I was 231 pounds. I told you I'm down to 224 this morning. So I'm on a diet, but I am going to eat chicken sausage, some eggs. You know, I don't know what else we're going to do, but it's going to be delicious. Do we have any questions.
I think we do. And if you guys want to join the conversation, send us any fan mail, art, any sort of content. If you send us fan art, that's a fast track way, almost guaranteed way, even if it's not very good, to get a pair of Sanable gloves. Send us some art, mention Sanable gloves, mention Believe You Me podcast. We'll probably repost it on the Instagram. We love the fan art. We love the content, but always send us video questions. If you have a video question, that's a great way to get on the show as well. BYMpod@gmail.com is the email address. So make sure you shoot us those questions there.
Yeah, exactly. BYMpod, not direct message Michael Bisping's Instagram, because I'm getting a lot. I'm getting a lot of people submitting stuff to me, sending pictures, sending all kinds of graphic content saying, oh, by the way, give me a pair of Sanable gloves. We are going to tally up Brian. I don't know if you're keeping a tally of people's names.
I am. Addresses. I have a folder with everybody.
Awesome, awesome. We'll send that through to Imran real soon. But remember, when you receive the gloves and stuff, you got to put a video on Instagram and tag us all. Without further ado, question one, what do we have?
We got this one from Chris Avery.
How's it going, guys? Big fan from Northern Ireland here. Just doing a bit of training. Question for Mike. Who do you think the next English UFC champ will be? And Lewis, who's your favorite comedian at the moment? Thanks.
Question for Avery. Do you live in a junkyard? What is wrong with you?
He's from Northern Ireland, buddy. I got a lot of family in Northern Ireland. You know, that's a pretty high end house there.
that's a mansion. That's a full mansion in Northern Ireland.
Bro, he's fucking killing it. I want to know what he does for a living. No, I'm joking. Thanks for the question, buddy. But he is working out. He's got a nice little setup. He had like kind of a spa bar thing.
Jealous. I'm fucking around.
What else did he have? He had a little tire. Yeah, he had some bits there. So good for him. Like to keep busy. Lewis, I'll let you go. Your favorite comedian right now, not of all time, because I think that is, what's his name? Of all time is?
Patrice O'Neill.
Patrice O'Neill. There it is. And I know you do drop Nate Bargatze as well as one of
your favorites. Well, Nate's a very, very good friend of mine and my son's godfather as well.
Well, maybe that's why then, because when you mentioned him and I watched one of his specials on Netflix and I was like, fuck, Lewis is right. This guy is really
funny. He's great. Yeah.
And I looked him up on Instagram and when his profile came up, I had the follow back button. I was all tickled pink. I'm like, ooh, oh, babe, he follows me. He follows me. Ooh. And then all of a sudden, I think he's a 20 times better comedian than what he already was. Do you know what I mean? It's funny that somebody tickles the balls a little bit. You're like, oh, I like this guy.
I believe, and you just don't remember because it's so long ago. I think he came in for like a 20 minutes of episode 2 of the Believe You Me podcast. He was on the show years ago, for sure.
No wonder he follows me.
You and Nate would get along. You guys would be fucking buddies. He's a cool guy to go have drinks with. But he's great. He's, by the way, also completely squeaky clean. I just showed my son Jim Gaffigan, who's another clean comedian. And what's funny is I showed my son that your wife hit me up saying you guys happen to watch the same exact special with the family the same night that I was watching it with James.
And on that note, Lewis, as you say, I mean, thank you very much. I had forgotten that Nate came on. I'm going to check out some of his other work as well. But, dude, episode two, you had Nate Bargatze on. I'm out here on a daily working, hitting people up, cold calling them. Guys, trying to arrange guests for the show. We need some funny comedians on the show. Reach out to your plethora, your network, your comedian friends, your outer circle, your inner circle. Bring the funny to the show. Some fucking guests on, Lewis.
I'll bring some more comedians on the show. I didn't know you wanted more comics on. All I know is comedians. I'll get comedians for days. I thought we only wanted fighters. I just know Mickey Gall and Matt Serra. Those are the only two numbers I got.
And I don't want them on. Sarah and Mickey Gall can come back on as well. But no.
Should have just left it as I don't want them on. Yeah. It's so funny.
No, random guests. Okay, let's just get not random, not fucking the bin man or the postman or whatever. But, you know, just, you don't necessarily, you know, get their take on the fight game. It will be interesting. So, Luce, you've got to step your game up. I'm sorry, but you got to work harder for this show.
I'll say favorite comedian that people should be watching, Dave Attell. Dave Attell is a fucking legend. A legend in, you know, New York legend. Every comedian from New York looks up to Dave Attell. He's the guy. And if you guys haven't listened to Skanks for the Memories, it's maybe the funniest comedy album of all time.
I don't think I've ever seen him. Where could I catch some of his work? Does he have a special?
Yeah, of course. He's got Netflix, Comedy Central. Just look up David Tell. You'll love him, dude. You'll love him because he's fucking old degenerate drunk. It's great.
Well, tonight, that's what I'm doing. When we've made dinner, we go to bed, Dave Attell, there it is. And what was the question for me? I think I've heard this question before, but what was it?
Who do you think the next English champ is going to be?
Oh, yeah, that's right. Well, next English champ. I mean, you've got two guys at the forefront right now that are obvious picks. Darren Till, he got a title fight at welterweight. Of course, reinvented himself at middleweight, just had a big win over Kelvin Gastelum. So he's already in the discussion there. But then you got Leon Edwards at welterweight. And Leon Edwards definitely has a real good chance of becoming the champion if he can get those big fights. I mean, we never spoke about it, but right now there's news of Tyron Woodley and Gilbert Burns headlining an event on either May 23rd or May 30th, yet to be confirmed. But Leon Edwards is always there, and he's just so good. He's very tall. He's very rangy for the weight division. He's massive for a welterweight, and he's very, very technical. So the front runners have got to be, well, Joanna Calderwood, she's British, she's Scottish, so she's in there. She actually had a title fight until it got cancelled because of the virus. You've also got Nathaniel Wood. He did just get knocked out against John Dodson, but he's young in his career, and he's a prospect by name, prospect by nature. You've got Leon Edwards, and you've got Darren Till. And I feel like you've got to give Molly McCann a shout out there as well, because you can never count Molly out of any fight. She is a scrapper, man. Shout out Molly McCann. She's great. I'm a big fan of her. I love watching the way she fights. She's an awesome person, and she's a good laugh to get pissed with after a fight, which I've done once or twice. So yeah, there you go. I mean, they're the five, I would say. Calderwood, McCann, Edwards, Till, and Nathaniel Wood. There you go.
So he did not commit to any one specific answer.
I'm saying that they're the front runners.
Every British fighter that's in the UFC.
Yeah, it's one of those. You're asking the only guy to ever do it, okay? I mean,
if you guys want to know, you want to know the absolute truth, he does not want any of them to win a title. He secretly wishes failure upon everybody that will come after him.
Incorrect. Incorrect. Listen, I mean, okay. How many years have we been around now? I mean, other than, when Christ says it's been 2,020 years. In those 2,020 years, only one person has managed to achieve that lofty goal, to climb to the top of the mountain and actually be able to sit there and look down on all the other people. Only one person in 2,020 years. By the way, we've been around for millions and millions and millions of years. But
very weird number.
The Bible says, no, it starts there. Ricky
Gervais. UFC's been around since 93. That's probably the year we should start with.
No, 2020 years, only one British person has been able to do it. I don't know what his name was. I forget his name. But I do feel the great British will produce another fighting champion, somebody that will rise.
It may take another 2020 years.
It's going to take a while. That's why I didn't commit to one name. There's so many people out there, so many years.
He might not be born yet.
He's not born. The Chosen One is not out there. Okay?
His grandfather's probably not born yet.
Or maybe it's Lucas. Maybe it's another Bisping. It needs to be somebody special. But if you want me to give you a name right now that isn't, we're not going to wait another 2,020 years. The name I will give you: Nathaniel Wood, Darren Till, Joanna Calderwood, Molly McCann, and Leon Edwards.
Out of all of them, if you had to guess, bet on it, gun to your head, who is, out of those people you named, who is most likely to capture a title next?
It's either Leon Edwards or Darren Till.
That's not an answer.
Probably Darren Till. Probably, I think Darren Till against Israel Adesanya, I think he matches up well with him. I thought I matched up well with Izzy. I did. I think I could beat him. No disrespect. Great fighter, great champion. But as a fighter, you believe in yourself. And I think that Darren matches up really, really well with him. I think, to be honest, the better question is who's going to get a title shot first? Because that's what it's all about, right? Getting the shot is the hard part. And if you can't, one loss and you're done, and you're at the bottom of the food chain again. Darren moved up a weight class, so it's a new division, it's a new start, and he got a big win over one of them.
Darren's also a bigger star than Leon Edwards right now, so those opportunities will come faster. That's a big part of it as well.
Oh, for sure. And
the matchups are everything.
And the UFC would love to promote a fight between Till and Adesanya. Because they're both good talkers.
That's a massive fight. And stylistically speaking, I mean, it's going to be difficult for that fight not to deliver.
Oh, the fight will deliver and the build-up will deliver as well, because they're both very, very confident in one another, in each other, and they should be, rightly so. And they both talk well. They both got swag. Adesanya is the champ, and he's really settling down into that role now, you know what I mean? And Till... is, you know, any Scousers out there, if you come from Liverpool, people in England know the Scousers, they've got the banter, they've got the crack all day fucking long. So I hope that happens. I really do. And I see Till having a very, very good chance of winning that fight. But on that note, I guess we'll all go about our lives, Lewis. What are your plans for the rest of the weekend?
Nothing much, man. I'm going to hang out, going to play some video games, crushing it on Rocket League and Fortnite. Say what's up if you guys are on Twitch, twitch.tv/PRRattlesnake, if you guys want to play as well. I'm playing Grand Theft Auto. Best thing, if you have a GTA 5 and if you have an Xbox, we can go and we can take over the world, baby boy. We can do some violent shit together.
First off, I'm a grown man, 41 years old. I'm the head of multiple organizations and companies. Okay, I'm an international media mogul. Okay, I don't have time to sit around playing Grand Theft Auto. I'll check it out. I'll get it this weekend, but I don't have an Xbox. I have a PS4. But anyway, whatever. All right, whatever you're doing, enjoy, Lewis. And for those people kindly listening, by the time you hear this, it'll be Saturday night. So I hope you're not listening to us on a Saturday night. But whatever you're doing, enjoy yourself. Look after yourself. Stay safe. And we'll be back on Monday.